accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. My message tonight is the Holy Ghost in fire. I want you to know tonight that when the Holy Ghost came in the book of Acts, that out of the Holy Ghost sprung, came, was just grew, increased a numerical increase in the body of Christ. And in a matter of hours, thousands of people were added to the Lord, 3,000 men. We don't know how many total were there, but 3,000 people plus some were added to the Lord in a matter of minutes from the time that the Holy Ghost and fire came. I want you to know tonight that out of the fire of the Holy Ghost also springs financial increase. I'm going to read here in a little bit where we see that all their needs were met. Everybody was selling their land, selling their property, and giving it into the kingdom of God. Out of the fire of the Holy Ghost. You know what? We can have, I'm an evangelist myself, we can have all the plans and the zeal in the world, but if we run low on the fire of God, then it becomes nothing more than a program. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost that makes us effective. It's the breeding ground of the fire of the Holy Ghost that pours vision into your heart, that begins to stir up the embers of things gone by and things that have been broken in your heart. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is stirring up His fire in this place. Jesus came in Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16. We all know John 3:16, but we equally need to know Luke 3:16. Luke 3:16 says that Jesus, John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, and he said, "There comes one after me mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to untie, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." I'm telling you, there's an attack of the devil these days against the Spirit-filled church that wants to take the fire out of the Acts chapter 2 experience. Because the devil knows that if he can whittle the Holy Ghost down to just a few, just a few gifts of the Spirit, just a few demonstrations of the Spirit and pull the fire out, then there's not going to be any true growth of the Spirit-filled church. The fire is where the growth is. The fire is where the increase is. And where there is no fire, there is no true spiritual increase. Where there is no fire, there is no true spiritual increase. Where there is no fire, we have to build giant things that are just a monument to mankind. Jesus, you can read this in Jesus' message to the churches. When he visited John the Baptist, John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, in the Revelations chapters 2 all the way through verses chapters 6 and 7, when he gave the message to the seven churches, there was one church, I believe it was Ephesus, that he said that if you don't get yourself back on fire, I'm summing up what he said, if you don't get yourself back on fire, I'm going to come and I'm going to remove my candlestick from out of your midst. In other words, if you study that out, the word candlestick is what represented that place as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was telling that church, if you don't get back on fire, of course, we're on fire here. I'm not relaying the same thing to you. I'm telling you that it's the fire of the Holy Ghost is what the Lord is looking for. When he was on the cross and after he resurrected from the dead, he came and talked to his disciples and he said in John 16 verse 7, "It is expedient for you that I go so that I can send the Holy Ghost and fire." You know what that word expedient means? That means it's better for you that I go. They're sitting there in person talking to the Lord face to face. I mean, a face to face encounter with the Lord. And what does he say? He says, "It's better for you that I go so that I can send the Holy Ghost." I'm telling you, church, we cannot stray too far from the fire of God. How long has it been since you personally have been just blasted by the fire of the Holy Ghost and had him burn through your life and breathe fresh vision into you? There were 120 that were following the Lord that got hit with the fire of God. There were multitudes and thousands of people in those days that were following Jesus in his earthly ministry, but it was the ones that trusted him and that obeyed and they pressed in. You don't get the fire of God just by being religious and going to one service a week, whether you need it or not. You don't get the fire of God by having a good program that's a self-help program. And thank God for self-help, because I know I need self-help. There are things that I wish I had more self-help on. But we don't get the fire of God from going to those things. There's, of all the people that were touched in the ministry of Jesus, thousands and thousands, multitudes were pressing in, the Bible says, that were pressing in to touch the hem of his garment. Multitudes everywhere that he went. Except Jerusalem. Everywhere else that he went, multitudes were pressing in and trying to touch Jesus, trying to see him. Some people just wanted to take a look and see Jesus. But it was just the 120 that pressed in, that obeyed him, that were willing to stay and wait. You know, that wait has almost become a religious four-letter word in these days. It really has. The word wait, W-A-I-T. Has almost become a religious four-letter word in these days. We don't know how to wait. I remember I've heard Kenneth Copeland. I remember him talking about times back, and I think it was in the 40s and the 50s when he was told of saints that had a church back in those days. And there was a time period where they went when they didn't have a pastor, and they were believing God for a pastor. But in the meantime, they just began to would come Sunday morning and would praise God for hours and hours until the glory of God would fill the place. Waiting. These 120 that were in the upper room, they waited. It took discipline. It took obedience. It took time. Are we willing to wait for the Holy Ghost to have his way? I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, he's going to just sometimes make us wait just to see, how serious are you? How serious are you about the will of God? How serious are you? Because I'm telling you, there is no increase in the book of Acts that came aside from the fire of the Holy Ghost. And the fire of the Holy Ghost doesn't stand independent of faith in the Word, doesn't stand independent of prayer. No, it all goes together. But I'm telling you that the devil has got a spearheaded attack against the fire of God. He does not want the church being on fire. Because if the church is not on fire, we can grow ourselves. Our personal spiritual growth can go through the roof. But if we are not on fire, our spiritual growth will never affect anybody else. And if the devil can stop us from affecting other people, even though we personally can just grow through the roof and have all this fruit and have all this revelation knowledge and write a book and sell it on Amazon and do all these things, but if we don't have the fire of the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of darkness is never affected by the kingdom of light. We've got to have the fire of God in what we are doing. And I'm telling you, the Lord is up to something right here in Calvary Cathedral about the fire of God. I'm telling you, the last three services, Pastor's Wednesday night service, and this morning, you can see the Spirit of God just invading this place. But Jesus said in Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16, that John the Baptist said, "Excuse me, there is one coming after me that is mightier than I, the one whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." I'm telling you tonight, I am so hungry for the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know what all his plan is, but I don't want to have a religious duty and a religious exercise that gets in the way of letting the fire of the Spirit of God burn inside of my life. Because the disciples, you can see in Acts chapter 2 that the fire of the Holy Ghost came and touched them. You can read it again in Acts chapter 4 verses 29 through the next several verses that again the Holy Ghost came and shook the room where they were praying. And they went out and began to speak the word of God boldly, and signs and wonders followed them everywhere that they went. You can read in Acts chapter 13 verse 52 that they were filled again with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there has to be a regular baptism of the fire of God on a New Testament believer, on a New Testament church that's going to be effective for the kingdom of God. Because without the fire of the Holy Ghost, growth in the kingdom of God becomes nothing more than a sheep swap. Nothing more than people leaving one place and going to another place. But I'm telling you, that's not what we're here for. We are here to see the kingdom of darkness plundered and the kingdom of God grown and increased by exponential numbers. Glory to God. And that happens by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I hope you get hungry, hungry, hungry tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Need to get one of those camel packs with the water line just coming around to the mouth. John 14, we're going to start in verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. But that's why Jesus went. He says, I'm going to my Father, in verse 12. He said, greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father. So in verse 16, why was he going to the Father? He was going to the Father so that he would pray the Father and that he would send the Holy Ghost. One of Jesus' last great mission on the earth was to leave the earth, go to the Father, and tell the Father, Father, it's time. It's time to send the Holy Ghost and fire. The disciples are ready. There's going to be 120 of them up there in the upper room. Holy Ghost, go and baptize them. Saturate them in fire. And I'm telling you, this turned Peter from a man that was shy and timid to preach and talk about Jesus to a little maid girl there before Jesus died on the cross, to somebody that would stand up and preach the gospel to thousands of people, to somebody that would go and preach and raise up people from the dead. And there was no fear in this man anymore because the fire of God was burning in his soul. Hallelujah. Are you hungry tonight? Are you hungry tonight? He went to the Father so that he would send the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost will sort things out in your life. When you're seeking God, Lord, what's the answer to this? What do I do? What do you need me to do? Where do I need to go? Who do I need to run with? What's the answer, Lord? The fire of the Holy Ghost will sort those things out in your life and give you answers, because it burns in your heart. The chaff and the confusion, the doubts that may be in your heart, those things begin to get burned away, and only the pure, perfect will of God is left on the inside of you. Only the pure and perfect will of God is left on the inside of you. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. As soon as the Holy Ghost and fire came, power resulted and evangelism resulted. I'm telling you, when the fire of the Holy Ghost is on people, soul winning and evangelism is going to be a natural byproduct. It'll just be like planting a seed into the ground and watering that seed, and you're a farmer, and you're planting the right seed in the right geographical region at the right time, and that thing's going to grow, and you know it's going to grow. When the fire of the Holy Ghost is mixed with the Word of God, evangelism and soul winning is a natural byproduct, and the power of God is going to automatically be there. I'm telling you, the fire of God be on you so much that when you're out there evangelizing and soul winning, you're going to know that somebody has cancer in their body and lay hands on them by a word of knowledge and see them get healed. Glory to God. Evangelism is a natural byproduct of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. You can't be full of the fire of the Holy Ghost and not want to evangelize. Conversely, if evangelism is not in your heart, if reaching out to people, if seeing people get saved is not in your heart at all, then that's evidence that the fire of God neither is in your heart. You can't separate the two. And traveling around, I mean, it's when I've been to church after church and city after city, it's a clarion line that is drawn. The churches that have the fire of God burning in their hearts, they are soul-winning churches. But I saw churches that were full of the gifts of the Spirit, and you would think, oh, wonderful, this place is going to want to win souls. But there were some of them that were against soul-winning because they were satisfied with the gifts of the Spirit. And they would manifest the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm telling you, you can't have the fire of God in a place and not want to go out and win souls. And I'm not trying to tell everybody here that you need to quit your job and go win souls. If the Lord tells you to, great. I know there's a balance to it, so I'm not trying to make you an evangelist. It's because I'm preaching the word. But there's got to be something in your heart that's burning. Something in your heart that says, this is right. If you're a prayer, something in your heart is like, we've got to see this out. We've got to see more. We've got to see all the thousands of the 78 something, whatever thousands of people that we've seen born again on the streets here in the house of God. We've got to see more people born again on the streets. We've got to see this city shaken so much that all the bars are shut down like in the days of old. I'm telling you, that's what I'm hungry for, is the move of God, that when it comes to town, that we run ransack on the bars and the gangs and all of the sin that's in the city. I'm telling you, when God comes into town, it's not other churches that lose members, but it's the kingdom of darkness that loses members. It's the gang leaders that lose members. It's the drug house and the alcohols and the bars that begin to lose members when the kingdom of God, when Jesus shows up. Because that's the way the fire of God burns. Fire is not static. If I was to set these flowers on fire, these flowers could not burn indefinitely all by themselves, unless you're Moses and you're seeing a burning bush experience. Fire is either either diminishing or it's growing. This is one of the most powerful elements. Fire is either diminishing or it's growing. And in the same way, in the book of Acts, the power of God grew when the fire grew. The finances grew when the fire grew. You can read this all through the first few books of chapters of Acts. And I know you know this. The power of God grew when the fire grew. The finances grew when the fire grew. Numerical increase was abundant. It was incomprehensible to that church at the time. They were running to catch up with the numerical increase. That's how Stephen got in the ministry. Numerical increase. He was just serving tables and he got promoted. Because the numerical increase, they were feeding people that were hungry. They were feeding people that had need. Numerical increase takes place when the fire is manifest. So the fire of God is either growing or it's diminishing. And when the fire of God is growing, finances, power increases, numerical increase takes place where the fire of God is growing. The fire of God is either growing in my heart or it is diminishing in my heart. The fire of God is either growing in your life or it is diminishing in your life. When the fire of God is growing in your life, there are other people in your life that will be able to attest to the fact that person is on fire, because I can't get around them without them praising God. I can't get around them without them telling somebody about Jesus. Every opportunity they get on the phone, every time they talk to somebody in person, they got to tell somebody about Jesus. That person is on fire because they are there at every single service that the church has. And they're not complaining because, oh, we went 5 minutes over. We got out at 12:05 today. No, that's not on fire. The fire of God is either increasing or it is diminishing. It doesn't hold a static state. So I don't know about you tonight, but I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Lord, start it. If it's already started in my heart, let it burn greater. The fire of God takes the impossible and makes it possible. Oh, Lord, it's impossible. How in the world can we deal with all the alcohol and the drug activity and all the sin and the lewdness going on in the city. It looks impossible. The fire of God makes that possible. The fire of God makes what would have been a drudgery before, oh, Lord, I'm not really interested in winning souls. I'm not really interested in doing this for the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Ghost and the fire of God touches your heart, all of a sudden you're going to have something on the inside of you that cannot be stopped to want to go and pray in the power tower, that cannot be stopped to want to go and win souls, that cannot be stopped to go at every service and come to the service expecting something from God. Not just wanting to do a drive-through, but coming to every service with your faith on the line, that everything that pastor says, you're grabbing a hold of that, and you're preaching the message back to pastor when he's finished with the word, that your heart is on fire, that there's increase taking place in your life. The fire of God is going to bring increase into your heart and into your life, and other people are going to be touched and impacted by it. The gifts of the Spirit do not come before the fire. The fire of God came before the gifts of the Spirit came. John the Baptist prophesied about the fire before Paul taught about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm telling you, there's a tendency sometimes that can take place in the Spirit-filled church to want to put the gifts of the Spirit at a higher place than the fire of God. And I'm telling you, I've seen it happen in another state when we're out preaching, and it just gets weird. One guy actually told me that he said, we don't want to even, really, I just don't even feel good about preaching the gospel to anybody unless we've demonstrated a gift of the Spirit so that we can prove to them that God is real. Well, I'm telling you, that's the most contrary to the word statement that I had ever heard. But the gifts of the Spirit do not come before the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of God comes first. The fire of God is what will keep the moving of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, holy. The fire of the Holy Ghost is what's going to keep the message pure. The fire of the Holy Ghost is what's going to keep the hearts of people from the top all the way down totally pure and right before God. The fire of God is what keeps the move of God on track. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. The disciples had repeat fillings because they were hungry and they were focused on the harvest. You see the prayer that they prayed? Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Just a few pages over, I want to read this to you. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God. They were getting persecuted because of evangelism. When they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God which has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and other people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. In verse 29, it says, and now, Lord, grant, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. They're under persecution. And the fire of God in their heart, they're not concerned about themselves. They're not saying, oh God, please deliver me from this persecution. I mean, look at what's taking place here. They're not asking God, Lord, please help us make sure that we never get thrown in jail again. No, the fire of God's burning in their hearts. They're not interested in anything else other than continuing to preach the gospel. They're not interested in anything else other than reaching the harvest of people. I'm telling you, that's what the fire of God begins to do. And when we don't have the fire of God, we won't even have enough preaching to get us landed in jail. But if we did, we'd be praying, God, get me out. Lord, deliver me. That'd be the only thing people might be praying. But I'm telling you, the fire of God begins to put a different perspective in your heart where it's about the people that don't know the Lord, because Jesus told Peter, go after my lost sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Then go and follow and seek my sheep, tend my sheep, pastor my sheep, and go seek the lost and bring them in. Jesus leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Because as I remember preaching a few years ago here, that harvest to the Lord is about family. Harvest to the Lord is about family. If it was your family member, just like it's the Lord's family member that's out there dying and going to hell, if it was your family member, You would have such a passion and a burning and desire in your heart to see them reached if it was your family member that was in trouble. But to the Lord, every single one of them is family. That's why it's a burning fire on the inside of his heart. Look at the prayer that they were praying here in verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant it unto their servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. In verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Speaking the word of God with boldness, a fire burning inside of their hearts. Apostolic power, I'm going to tell you three things right now. Apostolic power came from the fire. Apostolic power came from the fire. Paul in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, was full of the Holy Ghost, and he blinded a sorcerer that was speaking against the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, folks, that's power. You have a sorcerer, somebody that's a witch doctor speaking against the kingdom of God, and you just look them right in the eye and say, from this time forth, you're not going to be able to see. That's because the fire of God was burning and the Holy Ghost was all over him. In Acts chapter 13, verse 9, that's what it said. And Paul, full of the Holy Ghost, is what it said. He was full of the Spirit of God. Evangelism sprung out of the fire, but apostolic power came from the fire. Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, in chapter 4, verse 8, the same thing. He began to defend the faith of God, defend the gospel in front of attack. Said Peter, full of the Holy Ghost. It's apostolic power. Oh, Lord, we are hungry tonight. We are hungry tonight. Provision came out of the fire in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Take a look at that real quick. Provision came out of the fire. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Provision came out of the fire. You know, we can have a program. Think, Lord, we need funding. But I'm telling you, God's funding comes in the fire of God. Just like this morning, a second offering was received voluntarily. Didn't even have to be received, but the fire of God was in the hearts of people. And people began, including myself, came up and just said, I want to give. I've got to sow into this. Provision comes in the fire of God. Provision for your life will come in the fire of the Holy Ghost. Provision for this house, financial provision to reach the harvest in a greater way comes in the fire of the Holy Ghost, because there'll be a fire in your heart. It says, I can't leave the church tonight. I can't leave the church this morning without giving this offering. I'm so in love with the Lord for what he's done for me. I'm so excited about the gospel that's being preached in this house in Uganda, in the Power Tower, in the soul winners, that I got to sow into this. I want to push the gospel ahead with my offering. These people were giving willingly. Because the fire of God was in their hearts. And conversely, if there's not a giving heart in your life, if you don't want to give, if tithing is a strain and a struggle to you and offerings above that, forget it. If that's the word condition of your heart, it's because there's no fire in your heart. You need the fire of God in your heart. You're cold and you're dry. And that'll go right along with not wanting to win souls, not caring about the harvest. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll just answer things in your life. And in Daniel chapter 5, twice it says that God is a dissolver of doubts. You know, doubts, the prevalent meaning of doubts is to be double. Lord, is it this way or is it that way? What do I do? That, you know, God's got a plan for your life. He's saying do this, but then the devil's got a plan. And Lord, which is the way? You know what? The fire of the Holy Ghost will just burn that out and it will dissolve your doubts. And you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what the Lord wants me to do. You will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the way that he wants me to walk. The fire of God will bring answers to your life that you've been seeking God for. You'll come up from the carpet in the place of prayer here in the altar, and you'll just know, because it will have been burned into your soul. This is what I need to do. This is the answer that God has for me. But number two, provision came out of the fire. Money for the gospel comes easy in the fire. Money for the preaching of the gospel comes easy in the fire. And sowing into the gospel is easy for the heart that is on fire. And the third thing that I want to tell you tonight, numerical increase comes from the fire. Peter, notice this right here, that in Acts chapter 2, where did all the thousands of people come from? I mean, all of you street witnessers and all the times that I've preached out on the street corner, I mean, I've had times when I've preached to, 10 or 15 people and you can rally a crowd, but I mean, when was the last time that somebody stood up, you ever hear somebody standing up totally unannounced, no bait on the hook, no nothing. They didn't advertise, not a flyer, no television advertisement, nothing. That just stood up out of nowhere and all of a sudden 3,000 people get saved. You can't do that in the realm of the natural. You know what happened right there? Peter's heart was so full of the fire of God that I'm telling you, just opened up the heavens over that place and the glory of God was all over that entire area. And I believe what happened was people begin to sense the presence of God and they were looking to say, what's going on over here? What has taken place? And then Peter stands up and preaches and people were drawn to him. It was a supernatural event that took place. You cannot get thousands of people together like that unannounced. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. But when the fire of God's burning in your heart, I'm telling you, the glory of God begins to come. The glory of God will begin to open up over that place. And instead of having heaviness and oppression and demonic all of this and demonic all of that, the presence of God takes over a place. And then somebody stands up as a preacher and they begin to say, this is the Spirit of God moving in this place. According to Acts, as the prophet said in the book of Joel, that my sons and daughters will begin to prophesy, and he begins to preach the word. And it was not a softy, sissy word that he preached either. He began to get into that and tell them, you are the ones that crucified the Lord. Totally unannounced, but he had thousands of people listening to him and they got saved. And I'm telling you, these people stood and stayed in the kingdom of God. They didn't have to be begged and pleaded to come back. They didn't, whatever methods it takes, I mean, praise God for every method that we have, but this is the way it happened in Acts chapter 2. This is the way it happens when people are full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Can just stand up out of nowhere and all of a sudden 3,000 are saved to come here one Sunday morning. Pastor, we've got 2,000 people lining up in the parking lot that I stood up yesterday at Sundance Square. All 2,000 of them got saved, and I told them that we had service at 10 a.m. and we need to get them water baptized this morning. I'm telling you, can you wrap your brain around that? Barry and Sherry, I'm telling you, you guys can do this. Sal, you can do this. Out on the streets, you can stand up with the fire of God so strong over you. I remember back in 1999, I think it was in 99, I was preaching one of my first crusades down in Mexico. And we were doing a three-day crusade. And on the third night, I'd never had this happen before. On the third night, I'm telling you, we broke through. Because we're out in the street with a platform set up. And the first two nights were hard. You know, if you hadn't ever done street evangelism on a platform, it's almost hard to describe to you what it's like. I'd had a service one time when right in the middle of the Salvation altar call, the generator goes down. Just lose all lights and sound, and I've been through that, had those kind of things happen. But the third night, I'm telling you, the glory of God hit during that service. And that entire street, you could cut it with a knife. That entire street where we were was just filled with the glory of God. And I'm telling you, my Spanish wasn't so good back then, but you could have gone up to anybody in that street and interviewed them and asked them, do you sense something? Do you sense the glory of God? And every single, I guarantee you they would have said yes. I mean, it was just like a big storm cloud moved in and started pouring out rain all over everybody. It was impossible to ignore. And that was out on the street. That wasn't inside the church. That was out in the street. But the fire of God was burning in that place. And people, you could cut it with a knife all up and down the street. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2 on a much larger scale. Peter full of the Holy Ghost. People waiting. They were willing to wait in the presence of God. They're willing to stay and wait. Just let that thing get like a furnace on the inside of them until an explosion took place by the Holy Ghost and stood up and preached. And the same guy that couldn't witness to a little girl just several weeks before is preaching to thousands of people. Greater works than these shall you do, because Jesus went to the Father. It was better for you and I that Jesus go to the Father so that he could send the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Hallelujah. Is your heart burning with the fire of the Holy Ghost, or is it burning with stress and pressure and the benign things of this world? Are you more up to date on Facebook than you are on the Word? Well, then the fire of God needs to be stirred and stoked in your heart. Does the spiritual condition of this city weigh on your heart? Well, if it doesn't, you need the fire of the Holy Ghost stoked on the inside of your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Could we jump into Kelly's song that she sang earlier? That'd be okay with you guys? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, just lift your hands. Begin to pray in tongues right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, Amara, we make a determination, Lord, to wait when you lead us to wait, to not be pressured, to not be anxious, but to wait. Some of you this week need to set some time in his presence just to wait. When you go back to the house at night, just instead of jumping into things, just wait. Spend 45 minutes, spend an hour, spend 30 minutes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.